Hey guys, it's the Wiz from Toke Talk Radio, and hopefully you guys enjoy this story tonight. Tonight's story is titled, Something Ain't Right in Harlot, Montana. Got this story from No Sleep Reddit, so if you guys got some time, go over there and check out all the amazing stories by all the creepypasta writers. Hopefully you guys enjoy. It was the beginning of August, close to the time where the Mercedes would cross the sky. Where it presides? Well, doesn't really matter. That's a huge meteor shower. My wife and I had just put the kids to bed, and we were enjoying an evening out. We lived in a small town called Harlot, Montana. It was a nice place to live. Population of below 1,000, where young adults barely existed. Because, well, once they were age, they all left for bigger towns and outside the cereal factory. Their wives and young children. This place was a ghost town. Not that it was a bad thing. Hell, I loved it. Very much. Technically, all the low crime rate, the ability to crack a cold one and safely sit on your back porch with your wife while kids were sleeping was just fantastic. I wouldn't have left even if they paid me. But they didn't have to. I remember the sky that night. We were waiting for that famous rain of fallen stars. Now my wife and I, we were not big fans of the whole sciencey stuff, but she'd seen the broadcasts about them and wanted us to watch as I indulge. I would have spent some time outside anyway. It was about 85 degrees outside, just gorgeous and still pretty hot. And that's when we saw it. The sky was illuminated with a purposeless light, unlike anything we've ever seen. We heard a muted crash sound coming from the west, close to where the factory was. And shortly thereafter, the falling stars appeared. Now, part of me wanted to get to my truck and go see what crashed. But my wife rolled her eyes and said that it was a meteor, right? It wouldn't be any bigger than a rock, she said. She read somewhere that our atmosphere destroyed most of the meteor right when they came through and mostly ended up at the size of the rock. By the time they reached the ground again, I would have gone, but the smile she gave me when the falling stars in the background painted much more attractive idea than getting my jeans back on and looking for a hot rock in the dark. We stayed and watched the whole thing. And that was that. Now, I used to work at the factory. Did I mention that? I don't think I did. But anyway, the very next day, I go by for work and there's a bunch of government workers dressed like they are going into the surrounding factory. They said the factory's closed because of a gastro leak. But let me tell you, I ain't never seen gas workers wearing such strange outfits. Now, the workers and I complained a bit about having no warning, no paid leave, and well, basically, no information at all. We stayed there for a while before we were gently removed from the premises because it was too dangerous. So they said anyway. I came back home to the wife and told her that the hot rock probably penetrated a gas line. And now the factory was closed for God knows how long because of the leak. I was off for a grand total of 2 weeks. Now, that's a pretty long time to fix a gas leak, if you ask for my opinion. I'm pretty sure my boss is ready to eat his fingers. When they finally gave him the go to reopen 2 weeks behind schedule, it was definitely not good for business. So we worked double shifts for the following 2 weeks to try and get on schedule again. The bonus pay was nice, but with the kids starting school and all that, I hadn't been able to spend much time at home. I left early in the morning and I came back late in the afternoon, drained and stinking like cereal and sweat. It took another week for things to calm down at work, just enough for me to get back on my regular schedule. As a way to thank us, we could take back however many boxes of cereal we wanted. Don't worry, we also had a generous bonus for our double shifts, so the cereal was just a nice personal touch, so to speak. I don't eat them personally. You see, working with them all day makes me not want to see them. Plus, I'm lactose intolerant. But I know that my wife would have killed me on the spot if I didn't bring back at least 4 or 5 boxes of that stuff. Free food is free food. It's always nice to get free food until you get sick. I couldn't have known it was the cereal, though. They said on the news there was a flu outbreak. Kids got it first, which is normal, since public schools are cesspools of germs and bacteria. So that shit is pretty easily shared between the kids, and by the lack of proper janitorial services, I mean, sure. They don't need to make the school squeaky clean and hospital-worthy, but you know what a mop and a cleaning of some door handles here and there wouldn't hurt a bit. Whatever, I'm getting off track here. Kids pulled out of school and they stayed at home. Well, they liked it. Well, at first. They weren't too sick, just some bouts of fever and some belly cramps and reduced appetite. Nothing too alarming. And my wife was home to monitor them. I wasn't too worried, so I just kept going to work like normal. My wife was taking care of them and, oh, I couldn't afford days off. Not with Christmas coming in a few months. Then my wife got sick. Very sick. The kids were battling their occasional bouts of fever, but my wife found it hard to get out of bed. She said that she could do it and that I couldn't stop working, but I didn't feel right doing that. But I went into work anyway, and I found out that some of my coworkers were experiencing the same thing. Worst of all, a lot of my coworkers were absent. The factory was dealing, but I was offered to take on more shifts since I was healthy. And a lot of workers were away due to that flu outbreak. 2 weeks later, I had to take a break. I had to do some crazy hours at work and my wife was getting worse and worse. I brought her to the hospital, paid for all the screenings and blood samples, but you know what? Well, they couldn't find any goddamn thing. She complained about pains in her stomach and when they x-rayed it, they found something that looked like a mass that we feared the worst, you know. Cancer. They said that there was more tests to be done before they could be sure. They gave us an appointment set 2 weeks later and told us to keep away from spicy foods or anything that could irritate the stomach. Well, the kids were also starting to feel quite under the weather, but not yet enough to earn a trip to the doctor. And I still ended up with a bill in the thousands, just because of those screenings. It was a small price to pay to keep my wife safe, though. We were devastated by the news, but we tried to stay hopeful. Maybe, just maybe, it was an ulcer. Or maybe their machine was defective, and she just had nothing. She said the cramps weren't too bad and, well, that she could still take care of the kids. And with bills like that, well, I had no other choice but to pick up work again. When I got back to work, I realized that more than half the workers were absent. My boss looked utterly nervous, kept looking at us sideways and asking us to do more and more. Now, with medical bills, most of us did take on a few more hours. But it still wasn't enough for business. We were behind schedule again another 2 weeks. Because of that damn flu outbreak. But it wasn't the flu. We discovered it about a week later. I came back from work, and my wife was cleaning up a mess in the kitchen. She was pale as a ghost. Dark circles giving her that sickly look you never want a family member to have. She told me the kids have been sick and she had to give them anti-vomiting meds, and that if they didn't feel better the next morning, we would probably have to bring them to the hospital. At this point, the house smelled like a mix of bile and Pine Sol. So I cracked a window. Just a little bit. Everyone was sick enough already. And I was wondering how I hadn't gotten sick yet. Everyone in the house was sick, and I was not the kind of person who washes his hands regularly. Plus, still kissed my wife. Not on the lips, mind you, but the cheeks, forehead, you know. Yet, I was in tip-top shape, while everyone around me looked like they were dying. I was trying to stay optimistic. They said it was the flu. How long can the virus last? What, 3 weeks? I mean, everybody should have been getting better by now, right? But with the vomiting beginning, well, it didn't seem likely, you see. I ran a bath for my wife and went to the kids' room and kissed her forehead, and the elder cracked an eye open. His forehead was burning and his breathing was raspy. Went to the bathroom and prepared a cold towel for him, which I delicately applied to his forehead. I heard him whisper, "Thanks, Dad," as he was falling back asleep. There was only soup for dinner that night, but I knew my wife would go to bed early. So I could always fetch some wings at a local bar, right? If I had a craving later. I put her to bed around 9 o'clock and went to the bar. It was empty besides the two leeches that always were stuck to the counter. I ordered myself some hot wings and a beer and watched soccer on the cheap screen before going back home. Soon as I entered, I knew something wasn't right. You see, the smell of Pine Sol, it was barely covering the smell of acid and iron. I heard a creak coming from my bedroom, and that was the telltale sound of liquid hitting the bottom of a bucket. It was my wife's turn to be sick. I entered the room and there she was sitting on the edge of the bed, bent over a bucket. She tied up her hair into a loose bun and her skin looked moist. Even from a distance, I could see the reflection of a lump on her back, which was glistening with sweat. I approached her carefully as she vomited again. And I asked her if she wanted some water and some anti-vomiting medicine, cold towels, or anything. Her head turned towards me. It's kind of slow. And I realized in horror, she was vomiting blood. Her perfect smile was stained crimson. Her chin covered in ridders of blood. Her beautiful brown eyes looked besieged as if she was blind. The beads of sweat on her forehead, so big it looked like she had just gotten out of the shower. I yelled to her, "I'm taking you to the hospital right now." She didn't react. She spit some more blood up in a bucket before standing up. Her nightdress was stuck to her skin, and I saw something moving in her stomach. I don't feel too good, she whispered before dropping the bucket to the ground. Blood now seeping into the pink carpet on her side of the bed. She started convulsing on the spot. I rushed to call 911 instantly, asking for an ambulance, said my wife was spitting a fountain of blood and convulsing, that I didn't know what the hell to do during her convulsions. She gripped the hem of her dress and lifted it, and an inhuman growl escaped her lips. The demonic sound was followed by her scream. I let go of the phone and grabbed her hands to plant them to the ground, because she was starting to scratch her stomach. There were already deep welts caused by her nails on her fair skin. And that's when I saw it. I saw something bulge under her skin like that thing in the sci-fi movie. It moved beneath her skin, rippling like a wave as a search for the perfect spot to pierce out. My wife was howling and calling at my forearms, leaving deep gashes in them, and I screamed, "What the fuck is that?" as a single claw gutted my wife from the inside out, and a horrid pesticide-looking bug crawled its way out of her. I let go of her arms in horror. She lost consciousness and convulsed again. The creature was clawing its way out. It didn't even have a face, and it looked an absolute monstrosity. A mix of a scorpion and centipede with eight legs that all ended in a single very sharp claw. Skin looked like it was hard as a shell, and I stared hard as it kept tearing at my wife's skin. It took me a few seconds, but I ran to get a baseball bat from the closet. As soon as I wrapped my hands around the bat, I heard the disgusting noise of blood in the back of my wife's throat. As she drowned in it, the creature was almost out, and with tears in my eyes, I slammed the bat down on it. I heard my wife's ribs collapse, but the creature wasn't dead. It escaped her stomach and dropped on my carpet. Leaving an awful bloody stain, I slammed the bat down on it again and heard the sound of its shell cracking. I slammed again, gray blood finally exposed to the air. The creature released a shrill noise that turned my blood to ice, and it died there. The kids, hell. I ran towards the kids' room, but it was too late. As soon as I entered, the sound of their dying screams echoed against my eardrums. I couldn't save them. I could only stomp the creatures as the police sirens and the sound of my own sobs worked in pair to cover the noise of my dying children. The sky was illuminated with a purplish light, and they said it was because of the meteorite moving too close to Earth. They also said it was a gas leak at the factory, but it wasn't. Think they never found out what crashed and what hit our eggs and our cereal. It ruined us. But you see, my voice doesn't matter. Not back then. Certainly not now. Hell, I'm on death row. The story was burned, and in the media, they call me a monster. Thank you, prisoner, for all the information that you gave me this evening. Here's my card. We'll be in touch.